That's Megan, our director, and she gets a little excited about these things. Oh, I'm Tom. They asked me to narrate this year, although I'm not sure really why yet. I think it all started when I volunteered for story time in my son's class, and Megan's daughter's in there too, so she overheard me. She came up afterwards and said, I love how you told that story. You got so into it. It was so great. Have you ever thought about doing anything like that on stage? To which I replied, no. You know, I'm still not really sure how she got me here. I said, no. She said, okay, are you available for practice on Sunday? To which I replied, maybe. She said, great, I can't wait to hear your voice on a microphone. Wait, microphone? I didn't even say that. Oh, great, we'll see you there. It's going to be so great. I'm so excited. And she was out the door and didn't hear a word that I said. So here I am. But don't get me wrong. I'm having a lot of fun. And the people are really nice here. Like, almost too nice sometimes, though. You see, where I come from, if anyone's ever that nice to you, it's usually because they're trying to sell you something, or, no, that's it. They're usually just trying to sell you something if they're that nice. The first rehearsal, all these people I'd never talked to kept walking up to me and asking me about my kids and my family and my job, and they just seemed genuinely concerned with my well-being. Crazy, right? Turns out they were just really nice people. I felt bad because I kept just staring at them for a few seconds and would tilt my head, kind of like a dog trying to read a menu. It took a little getting used to, but man, it really has been great. Everyone's really welcoming. But I feel a little guilty. If I'm going to narrate Easter, it sort of seems I should believe in Easter. It's not that I don't believe in Easter, right? I really want to, but some of it just seems a little far-fetched, right? Like a pregnant teenage virgin. Come on. I remember a few girls in high school that tried to pull the same story over. Lucky for Mary, there was no Maury Povich back in the day. Can you imagine? In the case of the 2-year-old baby Jesus, Joseph. You are not the father. Woo! I told you, man. I told you it was an angel. No, seriously. I'm really just here for my kids. I don't want them to grow up the way I did. I don't want them to ever feel alone in this world. I just want my kids to be okay. Sometimes I'll watch them sleep. Not in like a weird way, that sounded strange. I'll stand in the doorway and I'll just watch them breathe. I'll watch their little chest go up and down. It's really the only time that I guess you could say I pray. I don't even really know how. I just say, God, please watch over my babies. Please don't let anything happen to them. I love my kids so much, and it terrifies me to think that someday something's going to happen and I won't be there for them. Or even worse, that somehow I'll pass my stuff, my brokenness, down to them. And that's why I'm here. The people are really nice, and I always feel better when I leave than when I walked in the door, and they love my kids. I just didn't get that growing up. And I want them to get some of those good, you know, guiding principles to help them with life, with just the stuff that it can throw at you. I guess that's why I don't really relate to Mary's story, you know? So if you get past the Immaculate Conception, then you're pregnant with God's Son, okay? Like, how hard can that be? That had to be the easiest pregnancy in the history of pregnancies. Like, I bet little baby Jesus is just in the womb, just healing her heartburn and keeping her swelling down and making sure her back and her feet don't hurt. Oh, Mom, you're craving some bread and fish. Here's 12 extra baskets for you. How about that? I bet when her water broke, he just walked out. I mean, your baby daddy is the creator of the universe. Like, how am I supposed to relate to that? Come on. Seriously, though, when I look at my little girl, she's so sweet, so innocent, so full of life. She walks into any room confident that everyone loves her and thinks she's amazing. And I don't ever want her to lose that. can't imagine how different she would look if her life were to be as hard as mine's been. Would she lose that sparkle in her eye? Would the world lose its appeal as her playground, with endless dreams to swing on and ups and downs of adventures to slide through? You know, my worst nightmare is that one day she's going to grow up and I'm not going to be there to protect her from the evil that I know is in this world. That her smile will fade and her heart will harden. Because you know, pain's a powerful thing. Believe me, I know. Because it's pain that made me a believer. A believer that there truly is evil in this world.
There in the quiet, he was born. My baby. My baby. God's son. God's son. The long-awaited Messiah. It was too much. I couldn't comprehend it. Because in that moment, he was just my baby. Of course, there were reminders of his holiness. When the shepherds came to worship the newborn king, how did they know? An angel told them. Scores of angels filled the sky, announcing the birth of my son. And when the entourage of men from the east came, from unthinkable distances, bearing gifts of pure royalty, it was enough to take your breath away. But mostly, in those early years, he was simply my baby, my Yeshua. You call him Jesus. I call him son. He rocked in my arms. He played at my feet. He grew before my eyes into the loveliest of boys. Smart, witty, serious about all the right things, and delightfully playful. His smile would melt my heart. And those eyes. Mama, he would say. Mama, look at this. Do you see this, Mama? How the sheep hear only the voice of their shepherd. Look, Mama, do you see this? How the stars always shine in the same patterns. Always something new. Always something marvelous. Yes, I see, Yeshua, I see. But mostly I see you, my boy. I hear the call of a shepherd in your voice. I see the starry host in your eyes. And in your smile, I feel a hope that I cannot explain. From the moment the angel told me I would bear this child, my life has been one unexpected journey after another. Water into wine. Blind people receiving their sight. Men whose legs hadn't worked their whole lives just picking up their mats and walking. Children who had died coming back to life. Thousands fed by just a few loaves and some fish. And even more, fed by his very words, words of life. Words of life for those who would listen. Some can see, and some cannot. When Jesus was a boy in the temple, the teachers were amazed by his understanding. But when he came to them as a man, they refused to believe him. The same people who shouted, "Hosanna," as he entered Jerusalem, the very same people, only days later, would cry out for his death. happened so quickly. John, someone, tell me what is happening. Where have they taken him? Where's my son? Don't look, Mary. Cover your eyes. No, I cannot. I must see my son. Where is he? Oh my God. Yeshua, my baby, what have they done to you? His body, the blood, he was shaking, he couldn't open his eyes. They made a crown of thorns and pressed it into his brow. They spat on him like a dog and cursed his name. They cursed him. They cursed him. They took his body down and they laid him in my arms. My baby. He was dead. I tried to pull the thorns off. I couldn't get them off. Get them off. Get them off my son. Oh God. Why?
Never seen it that way. I can't even go there. Just always saw Mary as someone so sterile, just at the foot of the cross, but I never put myself there. If that were my child, I knew they didn't deserve it. If I knew they did it willingly, and some people would never appreciate it. People like me. How do you watch that? How do you go through that? I remember the day I got married, I made a promise to myself that I was starting something new and that my kids were going to have it different. But I never thought that Mary or Jesus or Easter had anything to do with it. I never thought the church related to me. But Mary got it. I'm so worried about keeping my kids away from the things that hurt me. But Mary watched her son hurt, die. For me? Was it for me? Or you? Was it for my little girl?
They said that he could heal the sick, cause the lame to walk, and give sight to the blind. I never saw him do any of those things. But what I saw that day and the days that followed forever changed my life. There was an angry mob of religious leaders who were yelling and screaming and throwing rocks at the followers of Jesus who were crying and pleading for his life. And in the middle of the afternoon, something happened that to this day sends fear through my heart. The Son went black. It was the middle of the afternoon, and my men and I had to patrol with torches for 3 hours because you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. And it wasn't just darkness. It was evil. You could feel the presence of evil all around us. Grown men were lying on the ground crying in fear. Even Jesus himself, in the midst of the thick of the evil, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then everything went silent. And for a moment, no wind blew, no man or animal made a sound. And then, in the flickering light of the torches, he lifted his head and he said, "It is finished." And as I looked at his lifeless body, something began to move under my feet, and I looked down and it was the ground. The earth itself began to shake and rumble and heave beneath my feet. Rocks were split in two. Horses threw their riders and people ran and screamed everywhere. And then as quickly as it started, it stopped. And the sun came out. One of my own men, staring in disbelief, said, "Surely he was the Son of God." I looked at his lifeless body on that cross. But his eyes were still open, and it was as if they were looking right through me. I didn't sleep at all that night. I tossed and I turned. Those eyes were burned into my soul, and it's like they were shining a light on every dark and wicked thing I'd done in my life. And you have no idea what I've done in the name of duty. These hands have ripped families apart, inflicted unimaginable torture and pain, and shed so much blood. When I finally fell asleep, I had a nightmare that my hands were covered in blood, his blood, and no matter what I did, it wouldn't wash away. 3 days later, his body disappeared from the tomb. His followers claimed he had risen from the dead, but the religious leaders claimed they'd stolen the body to fake his resurrection. My men and I were ordered to hunt down the disciples, arrest them, and put an end to the rumors of a resurrected king. So we tracked them to a remote area of Jerusalem and began a door-to-door search. And as I kicked in one of the doors, I immediately spotted some of his followers sitting at the table eating. And as I moved in to arrest them, I was frozen in fear. Those eyes that were covered with the blood that dripped from the crown of thorns, those eyes that were burned into my soul were now looking at me alive. I'd staggered out of the room, my head spinning and my feet wanting to run. My head was screaming, "Run," but I couldn't move. And then Jesus walks up to me. He says, "What is it you want, Cassius? How did you know my name?" He said, "I know everything about you." And when he said that, the darkness inside of me came rolling up like a black vomit of guilt and shame that I could no longer keep inside. I was there when you died on that cross. It was my men who tortured and crucified you, and I did nothing to stop them. I have taken so many lives, shed so much blood. I am the guilty one. I am the one who deserved to die. And he wrapped his arms around me. And he embraced me. And with every moment of his embrace, my darkness faded. And then he said, I forgive you. For the longest time, we just stood there. And then he put his hand on my shoulder. And he smiled. And he said, remember, Cassius, it is finished. You were there when I spoke those words. You heard me. You felt the ground rumble. You felt the foundations of the earth split wide open when I defeated death, hell, and the grave. And now you need only believe in me. And if you believe in me, then Cassius, you too will never die. And then he vanished right before my eyes. I can't explain to you what happened inside of me that day, but for the first time in my life, I felt love. And that love forever changed my life.
You know, I've heard that before, that love can change you. I just have a hard time believing it because the love I grew up with didn't do that. Don't get too happy. Don't get too excited because it's not going to last. And when it all hits the fan, it's going to be your fault. But hey, just wake up and pretend everything's okay. That seems different. You know, this whole time I thought I was here for my kids. I'm starting to think that maybe I'm here for me.
Tom took an interesting journey, didn't he? A journey from not believing, and he had his reasons not to believe. He was at the play because he was the narrator, yes? He was there because he wanted something more for his kids. Really? Or was that just a part of the story that all of his life there was a larger story going on? Like for you, why did you come today? Did you come today because, well, somebody invited me, Mike, and I came? Oh, I understand. Well, I brought my kids because I wanted the kids to see a production. I get it. But as in Tom's case, there was a larger story. And the larger story is that God had been trying to communicate and get through to him for many, many years. And now it just reached this place where, again, God had brought Tom to this place to communicate to him two things. One is the reality and the truth of Christ's death. And secondly, the truth of his resurrection. And as he's heard the story again, finally, the larger story came true for him. And he understood. He understood that there was something evil in the world, and he never understood why children starved. He never understood why his parents had conflict. He never understood the divorce. Couldn't get his head around it. But now it's clear. Couldn't understand the pain of a child that he went through, that he was trying his best for his kids not to go through. Who would ever do that? He understood now that there was a sinister force behind it all. It made sense to him. The bullying just wasn't just purely just naturally driven. There was something behind it. The rejection he felt, it was much stronger than he realized. He was behind it. Second thing he wanted to communicate was the fact that the truth of this cross. Because in the garden, when this fellow showed up, and man gave this the whole kingdom to him, I mean, sold out to him. This plan went into effect that God never missed a beat, and that is, he said, I'll redeem man, I'll send my son, because he's sinless. And so Jesus came and walked as a sinless man, because it was God's plan. And Satan was tricked right into God's plan, because God tricked Satan into participating in what looked like Jesus was killed, but he wasn't. Jesus gave his life freely, because he knew if he could get on the cross, a sinless man, he could die for you and he could die for me. If he could pull that off, everybody would have a pathway back to God now. And so he died on a cross, a sinless man, and took your sin and my sin. That's legal. But now what was illegal is, after he paid the price of sin, what's illegal is that he stayed dead, because only the soul that sinned dies, and he never sinned. So after he paid the price, friends, and went down inside the hell, now hell couldn't, death couldn't hold him, because it was illegal. He had not sinned. And now God Almighty and the Holy Spirit came with life and interjected life in him, and he came back up from the bowels of that grave, a resurrected Lord and Savior. And by the way, defeating this joker right here. That's the story. And now, you like Tom, where are you on your journey? Because here's the truth of the matter, friends. Simple, simple. This is a kingdom, and that's the kingdom. And when you and I stand before God, he can simply ask, which kingdom are you in? And whichever kingdom you're in, you stay for eternity. Scripture says this. Look at what it says. And he has rescued us from the kingdom of, say it out loud, the kingdom of what? Darkness. He's rescued us from that kingdom, and now he's placed us into another kingdom of what? His dear son. So on your journey, have you been awakened yet to the fact that you may not be a bad person as it goes? You may not have done a lot of stuff, or maybe you have. It doesn't matter. What matters is which kingdom you're in. And if God, in his small story for today as to why you're here, is really after the larger story, is to make sure you end up here. I'm going to give you a chance to simply open your heart and receive Christ. We're not going to manipulate anyway. You know if God's dealing with you or not. You know, we don't have to convince you of all that. And all I'm going to do is, what's going to happen is, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you want to open your heart, receive Christ, and move from this kingdom to that kingdom. And every person who's prayed that prayer, friends, from Billy Graham to Mother Teresa, sincerely prayed that prayer, it's happened to them. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would bow your heads right now, close your eyes, and simply, if you want to get in on this prayer, just lift it. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand, all right? If you want to get in on this prayer. One, two, three. Hands in the air. Go ahead. I want to get in. I want to pray this prayer. You know if God's dealing with you or not. Lots of hands. Hands over in the left section here. Overflow, you respond right with us. There'll be somebody in there helping you in there too. Balcony. Hands in the balcony. Section. Hold them up high. Just wave them at me. There you go. Now, there's a couple of folks I just felt prompted. You're sitting there, and you've been where you've been so long until until it's just, it's hard for you to make a move, though you're feeling something right now. Let me tell you what you're feeling. It's like the atheist who's convinced there is no God and has been all of his life, but in the middle of his thought life, there's a thought. And that thought, in the middle of saying there's no God, in the middle of that thought, there's a thought that says there is a God. And that thought that says there is a God, my friends, that's the voice of God. And that voice is speaking to you right now. I know you all your life you haven't believed this is true. But there's a place inside your head that says, you know, I really do think it's true. Who's that person? Just lift your hand. I want to get in on this prayer. Right here. There you go. I want to get in. There you go. More hands up. Go ahead. Just lift them up. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to pray together as a congregation. Those of you who lifted your hands, this is your prayer. We're going to pray together as a congregation. Pray with me out loud. God Almighty, I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I invite him to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me and wash me and make me whole. And from this day forward, I'm going to serve you. And when I die, I'm going to live with you throughout all eternity in a place called heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give the welcome home, guys? Welcome home. All of you who lifted your hands, I want you to take a deep breath and realize you're alive for the very first time in your life, fully alive. And you will never die. You will go to sleep and you'll wake up there. But that's not dying, friends. That's why Jesus said you'll never die. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to everybody take this card out, the one you were given on the way in. Everybody take it out. Hopefully you filled it out. But if you have not, at least give us these last four questions here, A, B, C, or D. We'd like to have those answered before you leave, and you can put them in the offering plate, which we're about to receive right now. So here goes the four questions, A, B, or C. Don't you check one, all right, check one. A, I'm already in a relationship with Christ. You know if you are or not, just go ahead and check that one if you are. We'd like to know how many people here are in that position. We'd like to know. Secondly, is I'm beginning a real relationship with Christ today. We'd like to know that. If today, if you raise your hand, would you just check that box, all right? Check that box, drop an offering plate on the way out. And or I'd like to consider it a bit more. Some of you may say, Mike, I'm okay. That's okay. Just consider it a little longer. And there may be some of you said, I want to communicate this to you, Mike, and that is, I never intend to make that decision. Let us know. Check that box, all right? We'd like to know that. And drop it in the offering plate. All right, guest service folks are coming. Drop it right in that bucket. And let me just say, Lord, bless you as you give. And realize this, as you give this Easter, that what you're giving is going to the advancement of this kingdom and through the defeat of that kingdom right there. Advancement of the kingdom of light and the defeat of the kingdom of darkness. Lord, bless you as you give. In Jesus' name, amen.